Well, good morning. Now, last time that I spoke with you, whom was I speaking of? What was his name? Grace. That's getting there. Henri Denard. There we are. Where was he from? Where was Henri Denard from, Stanley? Charlotte? Switzerland. And in which city did he live in Switzerland, Stanley? Thank you. So, started out, didn't he? Fervent believer in the Lord. And he used to encourage other people. And he would organise events and meetings and things. And there he was. But then, something turned him around a bit. What was it? What began to fascinate him, Molly?
Money,
wasn't it, really? Money. Doing things, owning things, making things happen, being sort of right there in the middle of it. Do you remember which country he had moved to by now? Timothy.
Algeria.
It was Algeria, thank you. And in Algeria, you remember, he had plantations, and he had mills, and he'd bought up lands and factories and things, and was building houses there. Really a great speculative venture. Where did the money come from? To do all these things. A bit of economy here, Stanley. So investors. So in other words, he borrowed it. He'd encourage these investors, look, lend me this money, I'll get all these things set up, there'll be great returns on this money, just wait and see. But there's one thing that he lacked. Timothy.
A water permit.
Water permit. No water permit. The mills won't work, you won't be able to supply the homes. Factories, all these things there, plantations, well, the plants need water to grow. This was a bit of a disaster. Who did he need to speak to, Molly? Napoleon? Well, Napoleon III, we'll give him his full title, absolutely, Napoleon. Napoleon III. Napoleon III, however, had other things on his mind. What was going on in his life at that time? Molly again? There was a war going on against Austria. And, well, Henri Denard went there hoping to meet Napoleon, and, well, what did he see that actually really drew him, really impressed him in a sense? What was going on that shook him up? That's right. And as a result of his care for all those wounded soldiers there, it was the Austrian and the French army in conflict, the Red Cross emerged. He was so struck by it. Nobody's helping these people. Nobody knew what to do with them. And they're just lying there on the battlefield, wounded people. And so he spoke with leaders of countries and big people across Europe. We must do something to help soldiers and people wounded in battle, irrespective of which country they're from, to look after them and to get them back into fitness again as best we can. So that was all happening. But of course, back home in Algeria, nothing had happened yet. And we left it last time. He'd spoken to Napoleon III, who was paying a kind of state visit to Algeria. And Napoleon III had nodded when Henri Denard said, oh, I need these water permits. Right, he'd said, right, okay. And off went Napoleon. So we pick it up there, because then Napoleon did absolutely nothing about it. That was Henri Denard's great request. Oh, I need these water. He did nothing about it. Of course, an entirely busy man, got wars to fight, can't remember all these things here. So there was Henri Denard, and things were going from bad to worse. So this was a bit worrying. But anyway, he was busy with the Red Cross. Lots of things happening. He got an invitation to meet the Prussian king and queen, and he was talking to them about his ideas, and they were very impressed with it. So that when the Prussians then had a war with the Austrians, at least they didn't have wars with the Austrians in those days, anyway, the Prussians had a war with the Austrians as well. There on the battlefield, the Prussians had Red Cross. They had people who went, and nobody shot at them or anything, and they rescued the injured. The Austrians didn't. So instead, their injured lay there, but the Prussian Red Cross are very kind, and they took these people there, so it really showed the value of the Red Cross. Well, Henri Denard, 39 years of age, meeting with Prussian king and queen, wonderful. But in Algeria, disaster. They had the worst winter on record. They had droughts. They had earthquakes. There was disaster after disaster after disaster. And so, the people that he had borrowed money from, what were they wanting? What were they wanting, Molly? Their money back. Simple economics, huh? They wanted their money back. Well, where's our money? Where's the return on our money? Where's we've invested, we're expecting a good return on it. Where is it? Nowhere. And the banks wanted their money back, and the investors wanted their money back. And did he have any money to give them from his businesses? Did he have any money there? Was there any money, do you think, he had, Grace? Do you think he had any money? No, he had none. He was bankrupt, we would say, bankrupt. And he had to give away all his land that he had, all his factories, all his plantations, and he had to give away, he had some money of his own, as it were, his family fortune, all of that he had to give away, gone. All of it. He was ruined. And in those days, in Swiss society, you remember, he was quite a man, wasn't he, there? One of, you know, important sort of man, and lived amongst the, you know, the rich and the famous there in Switzerland. Well, they wanted nothing to do with him. He's bankrupt. We don't want you, sir, in our society. It was pretty tough in those days. You're out. So he was ruined. Nobody wanted to speak with him. And the Red Cross people, though he was a big man in Red Cross, as he was now bankrupt, they sort of went, sorry, Mr. Jinnah, I think you'll have to just stand down now. We don't want you here with us. So that all disappeared as well, for the most part. He had nothing much going for him at all. And he came to this country here for a bit. He was trying to sell organs powered by gas, apparently. Well, I don't know whether that really took off at all, but anyway, there wasn't much money for that. Nowhere. And in the end, he was living on the streets of Paris, destitute. No money. No home. No friends. Nobody to look after him. And he was just walking around the streets of Paris. And then he remembered. What did he remember? What did he remember, Stanley? God. The Saviour. Who had been so kind to him and merciful to him in the past. And he remembered what a fool he had been to forsake the Lord for all this wealth and all of these things which had turned into ruin for him. They hadn't worked. The gods of this age, his money, his ambition, all these things, totally failed. And so now he came back to the Lord and he sought him, looked for his forgiveness again and renewed fellowship and God's love again to him in Christ. Did he find it? Did he find it? What do you think? Did he find it? What do you think? Did he find it? Do people find God's mercy and forgiveness if they seek him? They do, don't they? They do. Any of us can. Any of us today can. Because he is rich in kindness and abundant mercy, tender mercies. And he found that forgiveness there in the heart of God toward him, though he had so ruined his life. Though he had made so many mistakes, though he had neglected the Lord and forsaken him and kind of just left him completely out of his thinking for so many years, yet he was still there. The Lord's kind of like a prodigal, wasn't he? Coming back home. Well, it was all pretty quiet after that for him. He had a few opportunities to do a few things here and a few things there, but by and large, there wasn't much happening in a kind of outward sense for him. And he sort of retired away up into the sort of remote part of Switzerland, and he just lived in a village up there. Nobody really knew who he was at all, except a school teacher was a bit puzzled about him. He had quite a long white beard in those days. He was getting a bit older. And he said, "Aren't you Henri Denain, the man who founded the Red Cross?" And it wasn't that he said, "Oh, yes, that's me." No, he said, "Well, that's me." Well, he said. And he got the local newspaper in on the story as well. "Do you know we've got a famous person living here, kind of incognito? You know, nobody really knew who he was, a bit anonymous there, but that is actually him." Oh, the local paper wrote up a story. And a few years later, the story really took off. and people were wanting to interview him. There he was. And of course he was very, well, you know, not wanting to promote himself now. He wanted the Lord to be promoted. He wanted his name. But the wonderful thing was, they awarded him a very special prize. Now, you get these awards made every year. They're sort of very prestigious prizes. You get them in science and peace and things like that. Do you know what the name of it is, Timothy?
Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize. He was awarded the Nobel Prize. Big sort of hefty sash of money to go with it. Amazing. Amazing. God honoured him. But the money, he said, I don't want that for myself. When I die, that money is going to various causes to do some good after I am gone. He just wanted to live quietly. When they were talking about his burial, when it was coming up to his funeral, that, and he knew he was dying. No, he said, I don't want some grand affair like that. I just want a very quiet funeral, just a quiet burial. I'm not expecting a great sort of tombstone or something like that. Who did he want to have the glory? Who did he want to have the glory? Stanley? God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let him have the glory. So there's a remarkable life. What a remarkable life. But much better for us to think, oh, don't let those years that Henri Dunant wasted, in a sense, go by. Don't put your heart on some earthly ambition. It will fail. Or it will so deceive you that your love for God will vanish away. Don't let that happen. Follow the Lord now with all your heart and look for his help and his strength to keep you faithful until the end. Well, Henri Dunant's story is an amazing story. Oh, so much the better than any of us at the end of our lives, it will be said. They ran the race all the way and didn't stop even for a moment. Let's sing our second hymn. 267, Rejoice, the Lord is King.